The Satanic Temple has made waves here in the Valley and around the country for its challenges on the grounds of religious freedom. Now, the group is suing the city of Scottsdale for religious discrimination. As KJZZ has reported, the suit alleges that the city refused to let members of the temple give the opening prayer at a city council meeting in 2016 and then came up with a policy to intentionally prevent their religion from doing the invocation. The organization and its attorney, Stu DeHaan, argue that's unconstitutional.
We find that to be a violation of the Establishment Clause. You can't discriminate based on viewpoint. You can't endorse one religion over another once you open a public forum in the government.
The city says it believes it meets all constitutional requirements. The temple also tried to do an invocation at a Phoenix City Council meeting last year, and the group has, intentionally or not, started a conversation about religion in public spaces. So what does all of this mean for the separation of church and state in this country? For more on that, I sat down with ASU Professor of Religious Studies Tracy Fessenden, and I started by asking her the main question about the lawsuit that's been filed in Scottsdale. Does she think they have a case?
They don't have, in my view, a First Amendment case. I don't think that they have been discriminated against on the basis of their religion because an invitation to speak in this particular venue was rescinded. The right to be organized as a religion, which they absolutely have, the right to speak freely, which is absolutely theirs, both of those are First Amendment rights. Those rights do not extend to a particular right to appear in public under whatever circumstances. So I'm not sure that they're on solid ground there.
Okay. And why do you think this is an important case? What kind of implications might this have?
Well, what we're seeing now, particularly on campuses, is that many groups claim that they have a First Amendment right to appear on campus, to speak in campus venues, no matter how politically volatile their appearances may be, no matter how expensive for the universities to cover security for those appearances. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are having a conversation about what First Amendment rights do and do not guarantee. They guarantee my right to say whatever I wish. They don't secure for me the venue I might want most in which to say those things.
But if you have a rule, right, if the city council has a rule that they're going to allow religious groups to give an invocation at the city council meeting, don't they have to allow everybody, no matter what they believe, to participate?
If that is the law, the rule, then yes, they do need to allow everyone to participate. I don't think that that is the case in policy or practice. I could start a religion tomorrow. Courts give me very broad latitude in recognizing that religion, but I don't know that I deserve a place on the city council meeting's roster for that reason. I think I certainly have a right to be recognized as a religion. I'm not sure I have a right to speak in the venues of my choosing. If the Satanic Temple is interested in provoking a conversation about where the line of separation between church and state should be drawn, whether that line even exists, that is certainly a conversation worth having. Mm-hmm. I know that the group wants a more rigorous separation between church and state. I'm not sure that that's something they will achieve, but I do appreciate the conversation that they are seeking to bring about.
Right, right. And this happened in the Phoenix City Council. This has happened all over the country. There was also a case in Missouri I want to ask you a little bit about. So they were able to get an abortion law sort of loosened there based on this religious argument. What do you think of that argument?
Actually, that case is extremely interesting, and I think that the Satanic Temple is on much surer ground there. And I'll tell you why. What they succeeded in clarifying was the right of a litigant, Mary Doe, in this case, the Satanic Temple member, to refuse the ultrasound that the Missouri law required of every woman who sought an abortion. She said that her religion, as a principle of her religious practice, she was guaranteed the right to bodily autonomy, and therefore she could refuse an ultrasound as an invasive procedure that she did not want to be forced to have. And she is absolutely within her rights to make that argument on religious grounds. Mm-hmm. Just as a Jehovah's Witness is within his or her rights to refuse a blood transfusion, this woman, as a principle of her religion, to preserve her bodily autonomy, she is in, I think, a very safe legal space to say that that's not something that she can do, that the law would compel something that her religion forbade, and therefore that she deserves to have an accommodation or an exception made.
Okay, so you've said that they're, whether or not they're trying to, and that's their goal, they have successfully created this conversation, right, around the idea that public life and religion, we have a separation of church and state in this country, and that should be separate. But in reality, is that really the case? Like, it seems to me that religion often intersects with public life.
How could it not intersect with public life? We've never had a clean separation between church and state. I don't think that judges or courts can do the work of separating those, even if that were something that a majority agreed were desirable. I see on the ground kinds of responses. For example, I know that after the Scottsdale City Council decided in 2016 to suspend its tradition of offering prayers at the beginning of each meeting, they moved to silent prayer and then reintroduced prayer, but had chaplains from fire departments and police departments offering the prayer. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is an interesting solution. It recognizes that police officers and firefighters are public servants, that they are paid with taxpayer money, that they do have, in some cases, a pastoral role, and that in that capacity, they might offer invocations that are appropriate before a city council. There's no idea being put forward that church and state here are radically separate or that they are fused, only that in some cases there is some necessary collaboration, and we want to make those collaborations as fruitful and as democratic as possible.
All right. Tracy Fessenden is a professor of religious studies at ASU. Tracy, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Lauren.